Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All righty, Jim and Jamal and Zaylor are back on the line. Always appreciate the fact that you are tuning in on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, wherever you may be. So thank you very much for tuning in. Jamal, Zaylor, shout out to the people.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone.
Happy Saturday, everyone.
Saturday. Okay, all right. Y'all have to excuse him. He's in Minnesota.
Hey, we have to enjoy all the warm weather we can. Winter's coming.
Man.
What you talking about winter's coming, man? It's July, man.
Yeah, it's coming. When it comes down there, from what I hear.
We are more than halfway through the summer.
When does winter start down there?
Oh, it doesn't start until later, but.
Okay. September? That's what I was asking.
It's coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
The rest of the world, winter starts December. Winter starts December. Now, December 22nd is the first day of winter, guys. I believe it is. Yeah. At any rate, hey, listen, everybody, we're really glad to have you listening to us as usual. Today we're going to be talking about, the main thing we're going to be talking about today is the strategy that Biden has regarding his comprehensive strategy to prevent and respond to gun crime. And ensure public safety. Now, that's Biden's own words, okay, to ensure public safety, which is interesting. And, you know, I've read some of the things that he's proposing, so I'm not really against some of this. So it'll be kind of interesting how the three of us get together on this for today. So we'll see. Before I forget, I'm going to make my announcement regarding my book. We've done it with Zaylor before with his book. That's doing very well. And by the way, he keeps getting the accolades on his book. I'm gonna give him an opportunity to give his title again. Actually, Zaylor, what's your?
I'm glad you said that because I'm glad you brought that up, and I meant to do it on the last show because on the shout out, I wanted to send a special shout out
right.
to my brother Z and
right.
the awards that he's been receiving, and I'm just proud of him. Keep grinding, man. That's major.
As a matter of fact, he threw out the first pitch at the White Sox-Minnesota Twins game the other day.
He's killing all my shout-outs today. I was going to bring that up, too. Shout-out to
He made a very nice pitch, you know, to home plate. You know, we were all telling him, don't embarrass us, whatever you do. Let me stop because I don't know what Jamal's going to be doing with these shout-outs. But anyway, I'm segueing into the fact that my book, you guys, will be out on July 20th. It's already getting very good reviews. Check out Amazon. They are taking, pre-sale orders. But it's doing very well already. And in addition to that, it's getting a lot of attention already. And it's not even due out yet. Penguin, Ransom House has also seen it and bought it as well. So along with Barnes & Noble. So it looks like it's going to do pretty good. So anyway, Jamal, okay, let me let you do your blast and your shout-outs, brother. Go ahead.
All right, man. This is my moment of fame, man, the first 5 minutes. No, I want to send a shout-out to I want to send a shout-out to my brother Zaylor, man, and congratulate him on the success he's having with his book. Man, I hope the sales just keep going through the roof and continue to grow strong. Congratulations, too, man. Shout-out to you, man. For being at the Minnesota Twins game and doing the opening pitch, it made it all the way to the plate, man. You couldn't ask for nothing more than that, man. All the way to the plate, it got there. That's the bottom line, man. So I was proud to see you do that, man. But getting to serious business, man. I wanted to send a shout out to Shakari Richardson. Shakari Richardson is a track runner who is no longer going to be participating in Tokyo for the Olympics. The reason why I want to give her a shout out is because she made a mistake, and yet she didn't make any excuses.
She took ownership.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about, I think the mistake that a lot of people are making, whether you agree with the rule or not, that's not even the point. The point is there is a rule, a worldwide rule, with the Olympic Committee, and she violated that rule, and she owned up to it. And I know that was tough on her, You know, but I still want to send a shout out to her, man. And, you know, I'm still standing strong with her. Can't wait to see her in the next Olympics.
And just to be clear, it wasn't anything where she violated the rule on drugs regarding steroids or anything like that, just to be clear. She smoked a little marijuana. Her mother had passed away. She was kind of grieving, and she went ahead and did that. So we don't want you to mistake that for any type of steroid use or anything like that. That's not what it was.
Right, right. You know, real interesting, I want to make a point on that real quick, because you know, a lot of people are saying that the rule is stupid because it's not a performance enhancer and stuff like that. I actually agree with that. But I want to credit Acho. His name is Acho and Marcellus Wiley on their radio show, on their TV show. Mm-hmm. They stated here, you got to understand, this is a rule for all sports, for events that goes on the Olympics. And some Acho brought up a very good point. Do you want somebody high on weed or any other substance if they're throwing a javelin?
Right.
Or if they're throwing the discus. Or, you know, that involves spinning and throwing a shot put or pole voting, vaulting, rather. You don't want anybody high on those kind of activities. So,
good point.
And it's a fair rule across the board. So, yeah.
Well, let's give Zeller a moment to again remind the listeners as to his book that he's got out. Zeller, you want to give them a 15-second pitch on that?
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot. Yeah, so my book is Our Gay History in 50 States. The website is gay50states.com. It's an LGBT history book highlighting significant people, places, and events on a state-by-state basis. So the book's done really well, won a bunch of awards. It's approved for a textbook for teaching LGBT history in the state of Illinois. Yeah, we're just doing our best to be able to make sure that young folks out there can see themselves reflected in our history and in history books.
All right.
So that they can also be history makers themselves. Yep.
And I just realized I didn't give the name of my book. I'm saying, hey, my book's going to be out, everybody. It's Defending a Serial Killer. So, you know, if you can check it out, great. We're going to move on at this point. Okay, let's take a look. But first of all, before I forget,
I did have a blast. Can I do a blast? Do I have time for that?
Go ahead, Jamal.
I'm sorry, man, but this blast to me is very important.
Yeah, because, Jamal, you're taking long in the tell.
Okay, listen. Uh-oh. I want to put the liberal agenda on blast this week.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Are you trying to get Zeller to hang up?
Hey, man, you know what? That's fine. Did you see this advertisement, Vax That Thing Up, where they took rap song?
Oh, please.
And they came out with Vax That Thing Up. Here's my problem with their agenda. Why every time they seem like they got to dumb things down for our community with Vax That Thing Up? And I let the first, before this, when the elections was going on, they had Get Your Booty to the Poll.
Right.
And they had strippers advertising about going out and vote. Why do they dumb things down for us to go? Are those things going to be a determining factor? Why they want a vaccine, but after I saw the video, I think I'm going to go get a vaccine now?
Right.
Yeah, come on, man. I just wanted to put that on blast. I was going to make that short. That's my blast for the week.
Here's a question for you, Jamal. Did Biden or Kamala approve that as part of the liberal agenda?
Who knows? But that wasn't what he said.
I can't say
they
yes.
Did not. Don't even do that.
I can't.
Those are random people on the ground making their own decisions about.
Oh,
stuff.
Hold it. Let's stop right there. I love what you just said, Zeller.
Uh-oh.
Those are random people on the ground making decisions, okay, that has nothing to do with the president or vice president of the United States.
By the way,
I
the liberal agenda.
I agree, Zeller. Thank you very much for saying that, because there's been so many times in the past with past presidents where people have done things and right away they want to point a finger at somebody that's in the Oval Office, okay? So thank you. I agree with you on that, Zeller. And I doubt if Biden or Kamala Harris approve that.
Okay, let me just say
a lot of our issues, Jim, have been people that are elected officials, like Mitch McConnell, and those are official policies of the Republican Party. So we can get back to that. I know you're gonna pocket this statement that I said and bring it up later on. I'm ready for it.
Well, first of all, I always want you to be ready when you come on this show. That's the first thing. And you know, you want to bring up, now you want to bring up individual politicians. We're not here today to talk about individual politicians like that.
I know you're going to talk about this. I'll be ready for it.
Because we don't want to bring up Adam Schiff and and Pelosi and some of those other deadbeats that have been there, you know, been there forever. Dianne Feinstein. But anyway, let's get moving on this email that somebody had sent that I didn't get a chance to respond to because I'm looking at the time, guys. You know how our time gets eaten up real quick. We had a listener that did respond because we were talking about how those police officers had resigned, we thought, because one of them had been charged. The crowd control squad, so the person typed in, the crowd control squad quit the unit but went back to patrol and other duties. They did not quit the police force. Unknown if Jamal's example was Minneapolis or what, but at the time it was reported that the victim deliberately confronted cops rushing to a scene and refused to move out of the way. Not just some innocent guy, but yes, the cops should have waited and called for EMTs. It was another cop that did, in fact, insist the citizen. Okay. So at least I wanted to mention that as a follow-up. I mean, last week was 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jamal.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, was it Zeller?
See, man, the accusation. Listen,
I'm listening on headphones, so if somebody grunts, okay, I don't know who it was. Zeller, were you responding to that? Or?
I was agreeing with you, Jim. Sorry.
Oh, agreeing. No, that's fine. I just caught something, and I wasn't sure what it was. Okay, listen, let's get to the emails real quick as well. The and thank you for that comment, listener, on the other business there. And also, before I forget, next week, Dr. Charles Potts, my brother, will be on the show to discuss this business about the Delta variant, all right? Because you know right now there's a lot of controversy about it, so he'll be on next week. So I just want to give that to the listeners as a reminder. Okay, Jim. I know you have discussed road rage before. Have you noticed the increase in road rage? There have been a number of these tragic events over the past week. Please take a moment to emphasize to your listeners not to lose their life because of an idiot driver. Susan from St. Louis. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but the realities are there have been some road rage incidents. Houston, Minnesota, and there was another one. I think it was in Detroit. Where, you know, this one kid was 17 years old that lost his life. He was with his dad. They're driving. Something came up. They both started giving each other the finger. And next thing you know, the 17-year-old gets shot and killed. Look, you guys, on the show, for those of you that have been the steady listeners, you know I've talked about road rage before. And, yes, it's back on the rise again. People are out and about. Listen, I always emphasize, why do you want to give up your life, okay, or put yourself in a situation where you're taken from your family, maybe for jail because you did something, for somebody you don't know? And never make an assumption about somebody you don't know. So if they want to cut you off or give you the finger because they didn't like the way you drive, look, go home to your families at the end of the day. Don't get yourselves involved in this kind of madness, okay? I didn't do the statistics this week on that because the statistics are back on the rise again. I know they are. I'm kind of just waiting. So probably one of the upcoming shows, I'll address it more, and I'll also probably give some safety tips on that. So with that in mind, Susan, thank you so much. Okay, next one. Jim, what are your thoughts on Bill Cosby getting off? Rebecca from Los Angeles. I'll throw this out to Jamal and Zeller first before I give my thoughts. Let me start with Zeller. Zeller.
He got the legal background. Want me to get mine first?
No, I'm going to get to Zeller first. Zeller. What is your thought about Bill Cosby getting off?
All I'll say is that he was not exonerated based on the merits of the case. It was, you know, procedural issues that weren't appropriate or followed. And so I think that the charges that he was found guilty of are still valid. And if the prosecutor didn't follow appropriate procedures and the Supreme Court in the state found that that violated his rights, it is what it is. That's our system.
Jamal?
I agree 100% with what Zeller said. We have rules put in place for a reason, and those have to be followed to the T. You can't turn around and make it convenient for you and break the rule here, but not break the rule for somebody else. We have a procedure in place for a reason. It must be followed. And shame on them for violating those procedures. From what I understand, that this was like a personal incident between the judge and the prosecutor. That's, you know, from my understanding, there was a little something, a little beef going on.
No, it's what happened, guys, okay? And this is exactly why I wrote the book Defending a Serial Killer and talking about the emotions that people do and the mistakes that they make in the judicial process. He was promised, okay, that he would not be prosecuted if he cooperated in another matter, right, is what happened, okay? And he was told that, so he relied on that, and that was violated when they went ahead and prosecuted him.
Right.
That's basically the reason why it ended up being thrown out. Look, the reason why they probably prosecuted him is because of the fact that there's a lot of emotions on these types of issues, you know, regarding sexual assaults and the things that, you know, that he's done. Now, on top of that, you know, he's suing the state of Pennsylvania, right? I don't know if you know that or not. He's suing the state of Pennsylvania because he was incarcerated for two years or whatever the case may be. So at any rate, we'll see how that pans out. But because they shouldn't have prosecuted him. Yeah, go ahead, Z.
No. Yeah, my question is now, I mean, I clerked at the L.A. Public Defender's Office.
Right.
We know that's a legal profession, very paper-oriented. Why is there no paper record of it? That's my problem with the decision.
Right.
But again, they have access to all that information and everything. But there's lots of offers that are put out there as you know, enticements to get people to do things. But normally this stuff is always reduced to writing.
But you know what?
Never reduced to writing, and there's nobody that has any record of it. There's offers that are put out there all the time. But
you're talking about a plea
documented is the issue.
First of all, you're talking about a plea bargain deal, okay? When the parties have already been charged, this was not a plea bargain deal. So there's a difference between a plea bargain deal, okay, and him promising that he was just going to cooperate in another matter. They didn't even bring up the fact that they were going to. I said, listen, you know what? We're not going to prosecute you, so we won't prosecute you if you agree to cooperate in this other matter. Okay, fine. Now look, if the Supreme Court turned around and rendered a verdict against the prosecution and against the conviction, somebody had something. They need you to say, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We just got a message here. In the words of a famous East Coast lawyer, even if you did it, doesn't mean you're guilty. It's true. Every time you turn around, guys, you know, these people are always talking about. It was like the other day, they caught this guy that kidnapped a 6-year-old girl, grabbed her off of her bike, grabbed her, put her in the car, and got caught with the girl still in the car. And what's he pleading? Not guilty.
Not guilty.
You know, hey, man. You know, fess up, you know, brother. You know, you got caught. That's the end of the story. But at any rate, look, my personal opinion about Bill Cosby is that I don't believe in what he did. I think men should respect women. And I don't think what he did was right. I think he got off with it. I think he's going to win any civil suit because when these things get reversed and, quote unquote, he should not have been convicted, he's going to get some money for that time. And I'll guarantee you, he's going to bring up the fact that with his fame, how much money he could have used, how much money he could have made in those 2 years. And in addition to that, he's talking about going on some tour, okay, as well. So we'll see how that ends up working out.
Are you going to go to his tour?
No, I'll have to pass, okay? I'm not going to support those efforts, you know, quite frankly. You know, no, I'm not going to go to the tour. Okay, let's get to the next one. Jim, did you see... which is the third one, guys. Jim, did you see the great Michael Avenatti cry like a baby when he got sentenced to 2.5 years? And he was the one being touted as the beast to bring Trump down. CNN and MSNBC were drooling all over him, and now nothing but crickets. So much for their fallen hero, Thomas, Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I don't know if you guys saw it, but he was blubbering. You know, here's the deal. Michael Avenatti went too far. I mean, period. Okay. Whatever he wanted to do politically was his business, but professionally, he stepped outside of the guidelines of the law. And you know what? There's 2.5 years, by the way. That's only a piece of it because Zeller, do you know, he stole money from his clients and spent money.
Yeah.
First of all, he's going to be disbarred because he's already been convicted. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
But he stole money from his clients. So there's two different cases that are pending with that. For those of you that don't remember who he is, he's the one that was representing Stormy Daniels. Okay. So, you know, this is going to be very, very interesting to see what ends up happening, with him from that standpoint. Oh, somebody just sent the picture of it. Just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty. There's a big billboard. Okay, thanks
man,
a lot.
I wish I had known that in high school.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that's all about, Jamal. But at any rate, go ahead, Steve.
Can I say that I'm just saddened and embarrassed by all these attorneys that are getting busted and getting their law license revoked and all that kind of stuff for acting? I mean, it doesn't represent the profession well, because it perpetuates some of these stereotypes that are out there about attorneys. Folks know that most attorneys aren't doing the stuff and the illegal stuff that these, you know, Giulianis and folks that are getting disbarred, Avenatti's and all those folks are getting in trouble for. It's just embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It's supposed to be self-regulating.
Right. Yeah, some of these guys are losing their license. I mean, they just took Rudy Giuliani's license away. You know, so that's going to be interesting
to
see.
In another state, too, in D.C.
Right.
New York and D.C.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to see how that unfolds. You know, I don't know whether he's guilty or not, but it doesn't matter. They're taking his license away, and he's probably going to have to appeal it and jump through some hoops to get it back. But whatever. You got to stay within the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
We just got another message that said, Jim, I forget, what was some of the agenda of this administration, and have they accomplished anything up to this point? Well, that could probably take up the rest of our time, so I can't really get into that this week, but I promise next week we'll look at that a little bit closer. I'm sure that Zayla probably has some information on that, and I'm sure it'll all be favorable for Biden. He's accomplished everything that he's tried to do. But
really,
just kidding. I'm just kidding. The reality is that I promise we will get back to that next week. So we'll make a note of that. Okay, to do that. Okay, with that in mind, and if we have some time at the end, we might mention, a few things, in my opinion. But I do want to say, look, some of these guys that get elected, please keep in mind that they have good intent. This is anybody that sits in the Oval Office. They make a lot of promises, things of that nature. They're trying to do the best that they can with some of this. But they're controlled by the Senate and by the House as well, to a certain extent. Now, somebody might want to argue, well, you know, they control the Senate, they control the House, which is true. But for some things that he might want to do, he's going to need not just a 50-50 count or a 51-50 count if the vice president votes, you know, with the Democrats. There's some things that require a 60, you know, count vote, okay, which is why they're talking about, you know, possibly trying to get rid of the filibuster. But like I said, every president goes through that. But we'll take a closer look. Because, you know, time is marching on, and we'll see exactly, you know, what's going on with that. I don't want to. Okay, I'll stop right there. Look, let's get into this other business, okay, because this is important. If we have any time, we'll talk about a few things that I feel Biden probably hasn't done, and Zayla maybe can throw a couple of things in on what Biden has done. So, again, it may not all be his fault, so let me just make that clear. Okay. The Biden administration announced a comprehensive strategy to combat gun violence and other violent crime. This strategy is for preventative measures that are proven to reduce violent crime and attacks the root causes, including by addressing the flow of firearms used to commit crimes. The strategy, this is all according to the White House, by the way, by the briefing room, okay? So this is not something I wrote up. The strategy is to get the money they need to put, are you ready for this, guys? More police officers on the beat, okay? With the resources, training, and accountability they need, okay, you know, in addition to that, okay? And again, we've talked about accountability. I think we're all in agreement about the accountability.
Absolutely.
So I don't think there's any disagreement with us on that. And, you know, proper training, accountability that they need to engage in effective community policing. Nothing wrong, in my opinion, with training. California... You know, I was with the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. We did a lot of training, you know, regarding the community, how you interact with the community. So to me, you can't do enough training. I'm not sure about LAPD. I know some of my listeners out there, former LAPD. I don't know how strong the training was with them. I would imagine it was pretty good. But, okay, it said that this strategy will also address the direct link between gun violence and the rise in violent crime by taking immediate steps to keep guns out of the wrong hands, okay? Keeping the guns out of the wrong hands, okay? I think that needed to be emphasized for a reason, okay? Because we've always talked about the fact that the criminals versus the everyday citizen,
right?
Okay, that may have, you know, that may have a weapon, you know, for, you know, self-protection. Now, So let's go to the first category here, and then we can all chime in on this. So the first thing that he's talking about doing is stemming the flow of firearms used to commit violence, including by holding rogue firearm dealers accountable. Jamal, I'm going to let you cue into that, because I know you know about the dealers and the, you know, these guys that sell these things at these different and ghost guns, you know, but, you know,
well,
these
when
different
you say,
shows.
Okay, what's the depth? See, I don't like broad definitions, because what's a rogue? You know what I mean?
Exactly,
is it somebody at the convention center, or is it somebody that's
not
selling it out the trunk of their car?
Not defined.
Those are way two different things, and that's the part that scares me, because that leaves it open to interpretation, so I don't like the sound of that at all.
Zayla, what do you think? I mean, I the word rogue means to me, and Zayla, you can chime in on this, I think it means that somebody is outside of the guidelines that's established by law. That's what I would think of it.
Yeah, people that are selling their guns within the law, given based on federal law or state law, at these gun shows and everything, are well within the laws in regards to that. And that's not my understanding in regards to the folks that he's going after. They're concerned in regards to people being able to secure firearms too easily at these gun shows. Then the federal or state law needs to change. It hasn't changed. It's lawful for them to do that. I don't think that's what the issue is. That's not my understanding in regards to where the issue is with them. It's the folks that are selling it on the street. You know, the ones that don't have serial numbers, or the serial numbers of them, you know, taken off, or these people that are making the guns. I don't even know how they do that. But that's my understanding in regards to what they're talking about.
It's easy to make the guns, because you can order them part by part. They're machine pieces. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to make ghost guns at all. But once again, right. Here we go. We already have laws already about selling firearms illegally. This would always baffles me about making another law on top of a law that already exists. Just enforce the ones we have. It's illegal to sell firearms, you know, without the proper paperwork, the proper documentation, without having a federal firearms license and stuff like that. Just enforce the laws that's already there.
Okay. Yeah, we got a listener to chime in with, what a bunch of bull. Is that the best they can come up with their plans? I just like more talk. I don't agree with that. I don't disagree with that, rather. You know, the problem with this stuff is that every time there's these killings, and the Biden administration had to do something to respond to this, because there was a lot of outcry about what's going on. And this briefing, this is a White House briefing I'm going by. It says, we have seen increased violence over the past year and a half. Homicides rose 30%. And the gun assaults rose 8% in large cities in 2020. The number of homicides in the first quarter of 2021, 24% higher than the number of homicides in the first quarter of 2020, and 49% higher than the first quarter of 2019. Black and brown Americans are disproportionately harmed. Okay. Here we go. Okay, and this is from the White House. Now, what is my issue with this? We talk about this. We talk about the fact that the people in these communities, let's just use Chicago. That is black-on-black shootings. This is what we've talked about in the past, all right? And here the White House is saying that black and brown Americans are disproportionately harmed. Well, how much of that harm is being caused by each other versus another group that's harming them? We know the answer to that question. Jamal, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, one has nothing to do with the other. I never understand why people always, you know, if, like, we don't agree with a cop killing somebody unarmed, they bring up, well, you know, black-on-black crime is high. Like, wait a minute, one doesn't have nothing to do with... Yeah, one doesn't have nothing to do with the other. The issue that's going on is a poverty issue. Poverty in the inner city breeds drugs, it breeds other kind of crimes, and that's how you have to solve it. You have to try to fix the poverty problem by bringing jobs and other options into these communities.
If anybody wants to call in, the number is 323-203-0815. Anybody wants to chime in on this issue. Okay, let's keep this going. Stem the flow of firearms used to commit violence. Now, Jamal, you asked about the rogue dealers. Is what they're talking about doing is establishing a zero-tolerance policy for rogue gun dealers that willfully violate the law. Gun dealers across the country are regulated by federal law that is enforced by the ATF, okay? Dealers that fail to comply with their obligations under the law creates the risk. So the Justice Department is announcing a new policy to underscore zero tolerance for willful violation of the law by federally license firearm dealers to put public safety at risk. Now,
I've bought guns at pawn shops. I've bought guns. I've done paperwork at the military surplus store at one point. I've never been through a process that didn't involve a 10-day background check in the local laws as provided. So I don't understand. There's already a zero tolerance policy. Is this just one of those things that just sounds good?
It's always that way, Jamal, when it comes to guns, because the reality is you're never going to get all the guns.
Right. Now, but, okay, I will say this. Now that I'm thinking about something, because I don't think the policy is as strict for long guns, for shotguns and rifles.
Right.
That might be an issue.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I know handguns for sure.
Well,
so long guns, and you know, that could be, maybe I'm wrong.
As what they're talking about doing is the ATF is talking about seeking to revoke the licenses of dealers the first time they violate federal law by willfully, one, transferring a firearm to a prohibited person, two, failing to run a required background check, three, falsifying records such as firearm transactions, and four, failing to respond to an ATF tracing request, five, refusing to permit ATF to conduct an inspection in violation of the law. I don't know how they can refuse to do that. They come in, they're going to come in, they're going to be able to do what they want to do. But again, when you look at this, I think those are okay. You're not supposed to transfer a firearm to a prohibited person, failing to run a background check, falsifying records, failing to respond to a tracing request. Zayla, what do you think? This all sounds logical to me.
No, it does. And again, I think you hit the nail on the head when you're making some of the references before. I mean, there's only so much that can be done.
Right.
You know, the issue in regards to, you know, gun violence has been something that is, that, you know, part of our history. And just, I know that I sent this this infographic to Jamal before, in regards to like the gun violence is high and all that kind of stuff, and it is higher than it has been in prior years, but it's not the highest that it's been in our country's history. The highest was in 1990 to 1992 is when it was the highest. So we're way lower than we were at that point. We don't want it to get to that point, but there's only so much. I mean, you know, there's only so much that that the federal government can do as it relates to things when we have the Second Amendment and the Supreme Court's interpretation in regards to those rights.
But you know what? Couple that with the fact that, think about during the campaign by the Democratic candidate, so the Democratic hopefuls are like the one guy that was saying, we're going to come after your guns. The Democrats were really pushing that, a number of them, during the presidential primaries on the Democratic side. Because, you know, the Republicans, we're never going to say we're coming after your guns, okay? So they were, what was that? Oh, Bader, oh, was it Bader O'Rourke or whoever? We're coming after, the, you know, to get your guns.
And look at how far he made it in the process.
Exactly. And I don't disagree with that, but I'm sure he didn't make it in the process for a lot of different reasons, quite frankly. But the reality is I think people went into a panic mode thinking, okay, you know what? I better go get my gun now. I better go do it now. So I think that's another reason why there was such an increase in the gun sales as well.
Let me ask you, did you think it'd be too extreme and unconstitutional, sort of say, if they had a complete no gun policy, like for example in the city of Los Angeles, in the entire city of Los Angeles?
No, because that's going to be a violation of the Second Amendment.
Okay.
The Second Amendment rights. Look, the Second Amendment, when it came out, it was out all for the right reasons at the time.
Right.
Okay, because, you know, you got people that were going to help defend the country in the event that we were going to be invaded. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why they come out, you know, the right to, you know, to bear arms, okay?
Right.
Now, they had no idea about, you know, these ARs and all this kind of stuff, you know, 250 right. years later, 40
they
years later.
They weren't worried about a musket.
They weren't worried about a musket, okay? So some of that, in my opinion. But I think the amendment by itself is a good amendment, and I think there should be some type of controls that need to be enforced. I want to make that clear.
Right.
You know, some of that's, you know, as a police officer. We got another listener that said, the issue is redirecting focus from going after criminal assailants to objects that in themselves don't do anything without the criminals. Hold on. The issue is redirecting focus from going after criminal assailants. So that should be the focus, quite frankly. But you've got some of these places like Gascon in California, you know, the L.A. County District Attorney, that he's not even prosecuting people. Do you see on the news about San Francisco, about how these people up there are just stealing stuff and they can't do anything about it? I mean, come on, give me a break.
By the way, that's got to be a tough listen, man, I know people saying they got to go after the criminals harder. That's not the safest job to do in the world, man. What? You know what I mean? Like, what I mean, just think about going after gang members on a regular basis, whether you pull them over, this, that, constant.
You're talking about a police officer's job. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
That, you know, sometimes, you know, cops are scared. They don't want to necessarily provoke something unnecessary situation sometimes with these gang members and stuff like that.
It's not just gang members, Jamal. There's other people out there. You have no idea, okay, what they may. Look at some of these people, some of these police officers that have been shot just pulling a guy over on a routine traffic stop.
Right.
Okay, that they walked up to the car and they shoot and kill him because something else is going on.
Right.
So all of these things are things. And, yes, police officers, they want to go home to their families every night as well.
Right.
And I know before leaving the station, we always say, hey, we're all going home tonight. I mean, you know, so it is what it is. I mean, I don't want to get into the thing about police officers making mistakes because some of them do. No doubt about it. Now, the other thing that he wanted to do was make better coordination with state and local officials with on-the-ground knowledge of which dealers are supplying firearms that show up at crime scenes. So what they're going to do is have the ATF, you know, is going to take a closer look at the extent to which firearms sold by the dealer are later used in criminal activity, the time between the sale of the firearm and its use in a crime. Okay, I got an issue with that one. How does an authorized dealer, okay, that somebody comes in and they meet all the requirements and they turn around and buy a gun?
Yeah, that's not fair.
You know, then 2 days later they shoot and kill somebody.
Right.
Okay, that's why they bought the gun. But how the hell are they supposed to know that?
Right.
At that point, you know, Zella, what do you think?
Well, part of it could be. I mean, again, part of it could be if there's a particular dealer in a particular town where all the crimes are happening with guns that are being purchased there. Perhaps they're not following the proper protocol and procedure that the law has on the books for them. So what's wrong in looking into that? That's one thing that comes to mind as it relates.
We're not talking about what's wrong with looking into it. We're not talking about what's wrong with looking into it. I would never deny them the right to look in and investigate any criminal act because if a gun was used in there, they're going to trail the gun back. So that's not my.
Isn't that what the policy is? Is that the ATF is going to work with local law enforcement in regards to that? I thought that's what it said.
That is what it said, okay? But in the same token, they will probably question the dealer, what happened here? Did the guy come and shout, yeah, I need a gun because I'm going to kill my ex? That's one thing. Guy just walks through the door. He's wearing a suit and tie. So, yeah, you know what? You know, I'm a hunter. I'm a this. I'm a that. You know, I'd like to buy a 9mm. I heard a lot about it. They could come in and question him. I have no idea, no issue with that.
The problem is, how do you hold that dealership accountable? I mean, that dealer accountable for the actions of this one person when they followed all the guidelines and had no idea.
You're assuming they followed the guidelines. All the Biden folks are saying is ATF, who has information in regards to which guns are used and which crime, coordinate with local law enforcement to be able to find out where this gun was sold and so they can ask them questions. If they ask them questions and there's nothing there, there's nothing to worry about.
I'm
confused in regards to what the issue and the concern is in regards to this.
I don't know who's expressed a concern other than the fact that is what they're saying. I think is what Jamal's saying. So let's just back up, guys. I think the concept of them conducting an investigation to ask the questions is fine.
Perfectly okay.
Okay. I don't think we're disagreeing on that, Zeller. Okay. I think how far it may go or holding them accountable for it, I think is what the issue ultimately might be. And right. I think that's where the concern
would
be.
But that's making some presumptions that aren't there.
Zella, okay. Anytime so somebody gets killed, anytime somebody gets killed with a gun, they're going to make somebody accountable. I can tell you that from the domestic terrorism, you know, things that I did and research that I did, because some of these people sold guns, you know, and they sold guns to people, and some of these people were prosecuted for selling them the gun. And they knew that. I didn't know the guy was going to do that. They prosecuted him anyway. Why? Because the shooter is gone. Somebody's got to pay. A message that came. What is the source of the guns getting into the inner cities? The average black or brown person who gets a gun that was not legally purchased has to be coming from someone somewhere. find a way to go after that source. Well, man, I think that's a good point, but hey, good luck with that.
I've said that repeatedly in the past on this show. But, Z, one of the things
that's what the Biden folks are saying.
one of the things that Biden wanted to do was repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. And that would allow for gun makers to be sued if their product was used illegally.
Right.
Now, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, because, you know, Ginsu knives was a thing in the past. And if somebody, you know, hurt somebody with one of those Ginsu knives and their product was used illegally, should Ginsu be held accountable and sued? I don't think
so. It goes too far. That's a stretch in terms of holding account. Well, we got another message that came in. Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, said crimes increased in the summer. Shark attacks and ice cream, guys. So shark attacks and ice cream sales go up in December also. So not sure what her point was by that, because just talking about the summer, but that's what the person texted in about, you know, at this point. So this, you know, you can't mix apples with oranges. The summer goes up, they're saying crime goes up. Okay, crime shouldn't be going up just because it's the summer. But historically speaking,
well, you're the one that has the law enforcement experience. Was that your experience when you're out there?
Hey, depending on what area you're in, I could tell you Beverly Hills, I can tell you crime doesn't go up just because it's the summer. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm talking about across the board. You track these statistics. You don't have to parse it out. My understanding would be that it would be. People are out. People are
That's logically things. Speaking. I don't disagree with that. That's
easy to track.
Logically speaking, that's correct. As a matter of fact, at the end of this show, I'm also going to talk about the cities that Biden specifically wants to address, because that's where they're concerned about. And I'll bring that up at that time.
I want to disagree with you on that. You said the crime in Beverly Hills don't go up during the summer.
I'm making a blanket statement. Don't hold me to it. Okay. All right. I was being facetious. You know, so, look, I don't want crime going up at any time.
Right.
Okay? I mean, look, people steal. People do the things that they do. The summertime, people are out and about. Hell, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure what they're saying is true. Crime goes up in the summer. It goes up. One of the things that they're talking about doing, again, I'm trying to make sure I'm watching my time, is that the stemming the proliferation of ghost guns and modified firearms. So first is what they want is that the Justice Department has issued a proposed rule to help address the proliferation of ghost guns, which are homemade firearms that are increasingly ending up at crime scenes and often cannot be traced by law enforcement due to the lack of serial number. Second, the Justice Department issued a proposed rule to make clear when a device marketed as a stabilizing brace effectively turns a pistol into a short-barreled rifle subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act. Go ahead, Jamal.
I think what they should do, if you want to fix that problem, instead of being able to order parts, okay, when you, like in California, when you buy a gun, they can't mail the gun to your house. That gun has to be sent to a place, a business that has a federal firearms license, and maybe they should start doing that with parts too, so that way all parts are documented and who bought the parts.
Isn't that what they're doing with bullets also, the purchase of ammunition?
Yes, I believe so.
Right.
So yeah. I think that would be a reasonable avenue to make sure that the right parts is going to the right people.
You know, I'm not sure we fully addressed the issue, Jamal, that you brought up regarding holding the gun manufacturers. Ill and I never, I don't think, responded to holding gun manufacturers liable.
Right.
When somebody uses their gun. You comment on it. Zella, did you comment on that? What do you think?
Oh, no, not yet.
Yeah,
not yet.
I didn't think so.
One of my questions is what other industry has a law that's been passed on the books that absolves them from any potential liability in regards to the use of their product? That's my question.
You know, manufacturers, as you know, Zella, in tort law, manufacturers, mm-hmm. you know, for a defective product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, can be held financially responsible, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. But aren't we talking about something a heck of a lot different? When you start talking about firearms, because the use of the firearm is controlled by the person behind the weapon, so to speak.
Right.
And you can't hold a manufacturer responsible. And actually, I believe there's some cases on this as well, Zeller. It's just one of those protections that they've carved out as a set of circumstances that are different from normal tort law. Let's put it that way.
Look, if somebody was if somebody was driving a Mazda drunk and killed somebody, should the victim's family be able to sue Mazda for somebody using the vehicle drunk? That's what I'm saying. Where does it stop?
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to hold the individual accountable.
Yes, Ella.
Yeah. One of the questions I have for you, Jim, is what about the? And I think this is probably the same law that prevents Congress from doing research as it relates to gun violence in the country. I see all of these things tied together. You might not necessarily see all these things tied together. What's the justification for that?
Wait, back up. Wait. Slow back. Go back. Roll that back to me again. What are you saying that they're doing?
I believe it's this law or an adjacent law to this one that prevents the federal government from researching gun violence and the cause of gun crime and all that kind of stuff. See, my understanding is I think the CDC is the one that's supposed to be tracking that kind of stuff, and there is a law that was passed federally that prevents the federal government from researching it.
I've never heard of that law.
Okay, I'll find it.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. First of all, how are you going to stop the federal government? I just gave you statistics they got from somewhere. They're not making these numbers up. So I don't know that that's where that's coming from that perspective.
My understanding is all of this stuff is really in regards to the gun lobby and the strength of the gun lobby in the country in regards to stuff. And
lobbying is lobbying and the strength of the lobby. Yeah, let's pursue that. Let's find out. I haven't heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget, you know, Jamal, what about a lot of women buying guns?
That's on the rise.
Right.
That's on the rise. There's a couple family members that I'm kind of surprised about has asked me to take them to the range.
Jamal, but they bought bazookas. You know, we're not talking about bazookas. No, I'm just kidding, man.
Man.
Jim, I think the largest demographic is black women, if my memory serves me correct.
Yeah. Right, it is. But why are they getting so skittish? But hold on a second. How about makers of Corvettes and muscle cars involved in high speed crashes? Well, that's, you know, it could extend that far. You know, people have sued, you know, on some of those on the basis of some of those things.
Well, really quick, just on that argument, the other side of that argument is that's the same argument that they put forward in regards to tobacco, and that was addressed, and that's not the case anymore. So I can just say that the mindset that people have that companies shouldn't be held responsible for people making their own decisions in regards to using their products that may harm them or others, that there are ulterior arguments as it relates to that, and the tobacco one is one that a lot of people bring up. I don't necessarily think that the situation is analogous to owning a gun, but I just want to make sure that I get that one on the books in regards to the fact that there are...
Well, tobacco, and you also have, what about drug manufacturers? Opioids.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about the opioids. They're that one big opioid company has gone bankrupt in regards to stuff, right?
Right. You know, so some of this stuff, you know, look, eventually, who knows? Something may come out of this. We don't know. But I don't want to forget something. The last thing is invest in evidence-based community violence interventions, okay? It's what they're talking about. So the president announced that the administration will convene and support a CVI collaborative of 15 jurisdictions that are committing to using a portion of their American Rescue Plan money, okay, or other public funding to increase investment in their infrastructure, including to anticipate and respond to potential rise in violence this summer. So there's money there. Use the money. Okay, so what they're doing is talking about these specific jurisdictions that are going to be included in that they're getting this money for. And what cities are they talking about? Here you go, guys. Atlanta, Georgia, democratically controlled. Austin, Texas, democratically controlled. Baltimore, Maryland, democratically controlled. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, democratically controlled. Chicago, Illinois, democratically controlled. Hold on a second, because I know you're all on the edge of your seat. Detroit, Michigan, King County, Washington, Los Angeles, Memphis, Minneapolis and St. Paul, Newark, Philly, Rapid City, South Dakota, St. Louis, and Washington, D.C., all democratically controlled.
Well,
why is it, I'm sorry, Go ahead.
If you remember 2 weeks ago, I had offered that question to Z. Something similar to why all of these
are democratically controlled cities. Zeller, we got 1 minute. You want to respond to that? Or did you leave?
No, I'm here.
No, I'm just kidding.
Jim, this should be for you. Name me the top 10 cities that are in the top 50 that are republicanly controlled. It's not a thing. Large cities are democratically controlled for a reason. And we can have a separate show where we can talk about that in detail.
Okay.
But the largest cities in this country are democratically controlled. And so you have to ask yourself, why aren't they republicanly controlled? Why is it that the Republican Party, their platform, their and all of that kind of stuff doesn't resonate where there's a critical mass of people living together?
Well, okay, I can answer that real quick, because that's where the brothers and the sisters are living. And let's face it, Zeller, the Democrats control the black vote. A chicken in every pot. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you that. These are the things we're going to do for you. And that's why. Okay. To answer your question directly, guys, it is 3:50. Okay. Yeah. So we need to get up. Zeller, I want to bring this. I want to discuss this a little bit more. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but it is 3:50.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And we have people. Okay, everybody. Once again, thank you so much. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. Do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Sign off, guys.
Hey, have a good Sunday, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right.
Thanks for chiming in.
That's it.
See you next week.
Bye. All right. Trying to watch that time.